Well, happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are here and watching online on this special day. We thank God for the gift of fathers. And my name is Pastor John Bjorgaard, and I'm the pastor of discipleship and outreach here at St. Mark. And it's great to be back. I've been focusing a lot of my attention at Holy Cross Lutheran Church, which is a church that we're in partnership, a church that was struggling, having some rough times, and they're even during this time of coronavirus, we're seeing a lot of very positive things happening through the ministry there, and want to thank you for your support of them. On the third Tuesdays every month, we have a meeting here where we talk about different ways we can support that congregation. So if you want to join us, we'll be one in the third Tuesday in July and in the months following. And also you heard Mike talk in the announcements about house churches. And we're looking for people that want to host these house churches in their homes, and we have these amazing resources online. In fact, what we have online here at St. Mark is fantastic as far as even our YouTube channel, just great resources. So a lot of people in our society will not attend a church, but they'll go to your home. And so we're looking for people willing to host these events, and we'll train you and help you to know how to do this. It's not like we still want you to come to worship here, but this could be done anytime during the week, like even a Saturday night, Monday, Tuesday, any night that works for you, or even depending on your schedule, it could be even during the day, whatever works for you as far as a group of people you want to reach out to and minister to. So if you're interested, show up. There's one meeting that's coming Tuesday at 6:30. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather today and either online or here live in worship. And we ask for your Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and our minds to understand that through you we have complete and total acceptance in a world where so often we may feel rejected. So help us to overcome the fear of rejection this day. We pray this in your name. Amen. We're continuing a series focusing on fear and how it affects us in so many ways. And today we're focusing on overcoming the fear of rejection. And before I jump into that, I want to lay out a difference between the fear of failure and the fear of rejection. The fear of failure deals with performance, the things that we do. The fear of rejection deals with who we are. And so I think for those who struggle with the fear of rejection, it can be something that can really paralyze us in our lives. There's a verse in Proverbs 29:25 that says this: "Fear of man is a dangerous trap, but to trust in God means safety." And that verse kind of lays out the direction we're going to be heading today as I share with you some points on how we can get over this fear of rejection. And most likely for most of us here, we have experienced rejection at some point. And maybe it's something we still struggle with. I know a lot of people do struggle with it. And I want to lay out the difference between there's fear, there's worry, and there's anxiety. And fear deals with the past. And I'll talk about that in a moment. Worry deals with the present. Anxiety deals with what? The future. And we see plenty of verses in Scripture where God wants us to work through these issues of fear, worry, and anxiety. Well, today we're talking about fear, in particular the fear of rejection. So how do you get a fear? Let's say, for example, you have the fear of heights. And most likely, at some point in your life, what happened? You fell. You may have fallen from a tree. You may have fallen from the roof of your house. And so you get to a certain height, all of a sudden you start freezing, and you have this fear just comes over you. And so fears are gained over time. When we're born, typically we don't have fear unless something happened in the womb before we were born. But what happens as we experience life, things begin to accumulate inside of us. I was talking with a gal yesterday at Holy Cross. I preached the same sermon there, and she came up to me and she told me that from the time she was young, through her whole life, her mother always told her that you were an accident. I didn't plan on having you. And it always really bothered her. Or imagine a child growing up in a situation where as an infant, that baby's placed in a crib and left there for long periods of time, even crying and never got comforted. There's a very strong likelihood that child's going to grow up with a fear of what? Of rejection. Or you go to school and you have a friend, and all of a sudden your friend says one day, "I don't want to be your friend anymore." That starts to build up inside of you. You may feel like you were rejected. Or you're in high school and you ask someone on a date and they say, "Nope." Or let's say that you're in a relationship, you're dating somebody and they dump you. Or maybe you get a job and you're fired, and maybe it's performance-based, but you're taking it personal. You think, I've been rejected. And the list can go on and on. And as these things build up, if people get this fear of rejection, the danger is that it's going to freeze them. It may cause them to not want to be in relationships. It may cause them to not want to be around people at all. Have you ever met people like that? They don't want to be around anybody else because they're so concerned about rejection because of the hurt and the pain that they received in their lives. And the point I want to make today is that we can get over this with God's help. And maybe it's affected us in various degrees, or maybe it's something that maybe you've worked through yourself. But hopefully you might find some things here where you can help others get through this debilitating challenge of this fear of rejection. And so what I want to do is I want to share with you some things that will hopefully help you in understanding where this comes from, but also how we can get over any fear of rejection that we have. And the first thing is this: to face the fact that people are going to let you down. Okay? People are going to let you down. Sometimes I think we expect too much of people. Before we look at anybody else, let's take a look at ourselves. And my guess is, you know, we have made some pretty stupid mistakes in our lives, haven't we? We have strengths, we have weaknesses, and sometimes we have hurt people. Maybe sometimes we've even rejected people. And so if we behave that way, why would we expect other people to be perfect? The bottom line is, there's no such thing as a perfect parent, or a perfect child, or a perfect spouse, or a perfect boss, or a perfect neighbor. There's only been one perfect being to walk on this planet, and his name is Jesus Christ. People are going to let us down. In Isaiah 51:12, it says this: the Lord says, I am the one who comforts you, so why should you be afraid of people who die? Why should you fear people who die like the grass? The opinions of people are temporary. And a lot of times, the people who hurt you the most are people who themselves are deeply what? Hurt. And sometimes the people that try to mold you and shape you into someone you're not have control issues because in their life they lost control. You need to realize the source of some of the pain that you've been inflicted with. Maybe sometimes you misunderstood what people said or what they meant. You know, Galatians 1:10, the Apostle Paul says this: do you think I am trying to make people accept me? No. God is the one I'm trying to please. Am I trying to please people? If I still want to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I love this attitude from Paul. You know, as I've studied, you know, the pastors, and just as far as even read about the characteristics of pastors sometimes have this real desire to be people pleasers. And I think we all, to some degree, we want to please people. We want people to like us. But Paul's saying, you know what? He's saying that I'm not in the business of trying to please people. My ministry is to please who? God. He's saying, I don't really care about what people think about me, because their opinion means only temporary. But their opinion of God is forever. I am concerned what people think about God. You think about, for example, a computer. And our brains, you know, computers are basically electronic version of our brain. And they take in information, they process it, they come up with whatever the answer, so to speak, is. But there's no emotion attached to it. The challenge for we as human beings, we have emotions. And too often we lead with our emotions. And as people talk to us and as they say things, it's important for us to think through what has happened or what they've said and process it before we let our emotions take over, before we let people put us on roller coaster rides. And we need to realize sometimes, you know what they just said? Well, that's a bunch of baloney. I know who I am. That's not really who I am, what they're saying. Or you may hear things, yes, that's a really good insight there, and take it to heart and learn and grow from it. But don't get on that roller coaster ride and realize that so often, you know, people, they don't know you like God knows you. And to be careful about that perception. You know, we're living in a day and age of social media where people say terrible things. You know, it seems like more and more, it's getting worse. The rhetoric out there, what people are saying about people, it's just ungodly. It's wrong. If you, for example, you go online and you read an article, at the bottom they have all these comments. You ever go down and read what the comments are that people say? Some are nasty, terrible things. And how do they get away with that? And I feel so bad for our young people in particular, who are probably more into social media than a lot of us that are probably my age anyway. And the things that people say about one another online are just on their different social media platforms. And you realize that in this day and age of Instagram and all these different things, people are trying to put this perception out there, this persona about who they are. And so often that persona is not even who they are. They're trying to be someone that they're not. And even these influencers out there that people think, I want to be like so-and-so. And you look at who these influencers are, and they're some of the most messed up people in the world. And even what they're putting out there isn't the truth about who they are. There's only one person that each one of us is supposed to be. You know what that is? Ourself. The person that God made us to be. And we can't let the people of this world shape us into something different. Yeah, we need to be around people. The same time, we need to realize that people are not perfect. And we need to be realistic about that. And we also have to be careful about what we say about others, that we should be more affirming and not be people that reject anybody. It says in Matthew 10:28, don't be afraid of people who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. The only one you should fear is the one who can destroy the soul and the body in hell. And what we see there is that we should not be concerned, again, about the perceptions of people. This is the words of Jesus here. What matters is more about what God thinks. I'll be leading into that in a moment here. But the bottom line is this. You are specially made by God. And people are going to let us down. And the key is for us to be on the journey to be who God wants us to be and not let people mold us and shape us into something that we're not. The next point is this. Okay, again, people are going to let you down. The next point is focus on how God sees you. Focus on how God sees you. There's a story in the Bible, and it's the story of how David was chosen to be the king of Israel. And the first king of Israel was a guy named King Saul. And the people at first, they were so excited about this king. They wanted a king so bad. And here is Saul. He's a head taller than everybody else. Good-looking guy, just a specimen as far as as far as how he looked physically. And the people thought, look at our good-looking king. But if you study the life of Saul, you'll notice his life took a tailspin. He may have been a good-looking guy, but he got messed up. And God finally said to Samuel the prophet, I want you to go and find a different king. And so he goes to the house of a guy named Jesse, and Jesse has seven sons. And so he says, to Jesse, I want to see your sons. And so the first six sons walk by from the oldest to progressively to the younger ones. And the first six walk by, and Samuel revealed to him by God, neither one of them is the one. And you think typically the firstborn son would be the one, but God works in different ways. And so Samuel says, do you have any more sons? And Jesse goes, yeah, I got a son named David. He's out in the field. He's a shepherd. We put him out there to take care of the sheep. Well, bring him. And so David walks in front of Samuel, and God reveals to Samuel what? He's my guy. He's my guy. He may not be a head taller than the rest of them. He may not be this physical specimen of the best-looking kind of guy, but he had a heart that God loved. Even though he still wasn't a perfect person himself. And it says in 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him, referring to Saul in particular here. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. A lot of people feel rejected maybe because of how they look, or maybe because of their age, or a number of different things. The bottom line is, the real self is not exterior, it's on the inside. We have a living soul. And that soul has an eternal destiny. God looks at the heart, the substance of who you are. He made you special. And let me tell you something. He loves you. He's never rejected you. God does not make junk. He forgives us. He loves us. But the bottom line is he wants us to keep understanding how loved we are so we can be set free to share that love more with others. Think about how God looks at you. That's what matters. And you're a special child. You know, I've talked before about John the disciple, and he referred himself as the one who Jesus loved because he felt Jesus loved him more than anybody else. Well, let me tell you, we're all that person. We're all God's special children, perfectly loved by him, which leads to the next point. Fall back on God's unconditional love. Fall back on God's unconditional love. 1 John 4:10, this is what love is. It is not our love for God, it is God's love for us in sending his son to be the way to take away our sins. If we want to go to heaven, sin cannot be on us. And sin is the opposite of love. God is love. There's love and there's sin. And Jesus came into the world and lived and died and rose for us. And by believing in him, we are saved. Our sin is gone. We're forgiven. There's no sin in this room right now. And because of that, we're going to live forever. We're part of an eternal family. We're going to be together forever. And so we might as well start getting along now, right? And you look around the world that we're living in, and a lot of people are not getting along out there. And that's so sad. Because if our ancestries were traced all the way back, every one of us, our ancestries go back to Adam and Eve. We are a family. And just as God loves us, to learn to love others. And it doesn't happen by itself. You see, what happens is God loves us. And when we realize how much he loves us, and the more that his love becomes a part of our lives, the more we learn to love ourselves for who we are in Christ. You know, the point is this, the closer you get to God, the more you're going to be formed into who you're meant to be because God created you. And the more you get close to God, you become the person you're meant to be in Christ. And you learn to love yourself for who you are in Christ. And then you learn to love God. And then you learn to love others. You know, the people so often that hurt us out there are people that are hurting. Guess what's missing in their lives? They're feeling rejected. They don't feel love. And so rather than letting these people hurt our feelings, we should feel bad for them. Because what matters is not what they think about us. What matters is what they think about Jesus. And the key is for his love to keep filling us, this overflowing, and then it goes out from us to them. And we want to direct them to Jesus because in the end, that's what really matters. In Hebrews 4:13, it says this, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." God's watching. But I want to make something clear. Through Jesus Christ, we're forgiven. Our sin is gone. But now we're set free. But still, what we do matters. For those who live outside of God's grace or rejected Jesus, they're living in their sins. They will be held accountable for their sin. But we have an amazing and important ministry and mission to carry out, to be ambassadors of acceptance. We are loved and accepted by God. And our calling is to go out in this world and let people know as well that they are loved and accepted by God. But it has to start by us accepting people too. We're living in times where there's a lot of rejection going on out there. A lot of even racial tension, which is just not Christian at all. The God of creation made everybody special. And everybody is of equal importance and equally special. And it's so important that we, as ambassadors for Jesus Christ, that we go out and let the world know how much they're loved. On this Father's Day, we have a Father, a Heavenly Father who loves us unconditionally. And for fathers that are listening and fathers here today, it's so important for us to follow the example of our Heavenly Father, to show love and acceptance to our family members. And for all of us to keep pushing that out further and further into this world. It's such an important ministry. In the last verse from 1 John 4:18, where God's love is, there is no fear because God's love drives out fear. It is punishment that makes a person fear. So love is not made perfect in the person who fears. There is fear and there is love. And what does love do? It pushes fear away. You realize that? That the more that we realize how loved we are in Christ, the more the fears, the phobias we have, they're going to go away to receive that love. And sometimes maybe we think, I don't deserve that love. I've messed up so much in my life. You know what? You've always been loved by God. He wants you to have a great life now and a great life forever. He wants that love to come alive in you and for the fear to be pushed away. And the more that that fear is pushed away, the more the love fills us again, the more we're going to be a blessing to the people around us. The more we're going to bring glory to God, the more our lives are going to be blessed as we feel that love and acceptance of Jesus Christ. And I shared with some of you a while ago a story, and I can't help but share it again. I was coaching a pastor. He was on a Zoom call, and he was struggling with this, you know, fear of failure, fear of rejection. And I was talking to him, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just came over me. I'm not sure if it's ever happened to you, where all of a sudden, I'm speaking, but it's not my words. They weren't my words. God started speaking through me, and I felt this love come over me. I mean, I just wanted to stay there. It was just amazing. And I started telling this guy things I didn't know personally, only God would know, going on inside of him, and God affirming through me to this guy how much he loves him. And I'm looking at the guy on the screen, and I'm just, you know, the words just flowing. I was just like a conduit, and tears pouring down his eyes. And after 10 minutes, finally it stopped, and it was me again, just me. he could tell right away it was just me. There's a huge difference between me and what God speaks through you. And I said, "Did you realize that wasn't me?" He's just crying. He says, "Yeah, I know it wasn't you." And what's been interesting is even after that event, and I'm thinking, I said, I'm jealous. I wish I heard those words were for me. They were for you. I got to share the words with you. But what really hit me was as time goes by, sometimes we go back into the same way. And every once in a while I find him, he's still having like a rough day or whatever. If I'm talking to him and I say, "Remember that one day when God spoke through me to you?" He just smiles and shakes his head, "Yeah." And here's the point as we close. A lot of us have different things we're dealing with inside of our lives. And we want to change them, right? It doesn't happen overnight. It takes a lot of hard work. There's a lot of lies inside of us that are holding us back. The lies of the world, the lies of the evil one. Jesus is truth. And the key is to keep putting his truth inside of us, letting that truth fill us up. And the truth is this: you are loved unconditionally. Always been loved. You're special. There's no one in this universe like you. And God made you special. And I want you right now to turn to the people around you. If you're watching online, if there's people watching with you, turn to the people around you. And I know there's distance here, but turn around, tell the people around you, you are special. Okay, do that right now. Just look around. Just tell each other the truth. You're amazing. God loves you so much. And we're going to be together forever. It's just so awesome being here again with you. And you know, we're a family, whether we're here in person or we're online. And here's a challenge I want to give. We're living in strange times, right? There's limitations to what we can do. One thing that we're finding out is there's a lot of people that are doing things online. And this church has amazing resources on the YouTube channel. I've looked at a lot of churches' resources. This is one of the best I've seen. You know, maybe subscribe to the channel if you haven't. Take some of these resources and send them on to others. I think it's so, a way for us to witness to others and to affirm others. You see a message like, wow, so-and-so, maybe if they heard this, it could really be a blessing to them. Do that type of thing. Send these resources out. It's one of the ways that we can, you know, reach out and affirm others. But nothing beats face-to-face, my friends. But in the meantime, we got to do what we can. And there's a lot of hurting people in this world right now. But remember this, we've always been accepted. We are always loved. And I pray that truth will reign inside of our lives and that we realize that, yeah, sometimes people are going to let us down. What matters is what God thinks and to fall back on his unconditional love. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for your forgiveness. Help us to realize that sometimes us life, we're going to be let down. But yet, you are always there. You love us. You accept us. What matters is what you think. People's opinions are temporary. Lord, we want to be shaped in the people you want us to be, and the key is for your love to fill us to overflowing and for you to shape us in the right way. Let your love flow through us to overflowing that we can go out and share your love with others and affirm others and lift people up. Lord, help us to be in a ministry of affirming others. Even this week as we go forth, as we see people and if we come across people, Lord, help us to be the kind of people that lift them up and say, wow, you are special. That's amazing what you do. Thank you for loving us so much. Help us to overcome this fear of rejection. We pray this in your name. Amen.